and welcome everyone to this divine service. And pleased to see you here, and also God is pleased to see you here too, to worship Him. The subject I'm going to, we study today, actually is not the subject I wanted to present. But when I get the okay, even in Sabbath school, when it's going to be my turn, I just start studying it. So this being prepared for a while, but when I was going to present the actual subject, depend when the other way. God wanted me to do this subject. That's how it is. The Word of God stands forever. Yes. So let us bow our heads for the Holy Spirit to guide us. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us. Also give me the word of speech, and that it comes from above, and also that the holy angels be around us continually, that the evil ones will be cast away. Give us the understanding of your word and what is going to be presented through the holy scriptures. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us, and thank you for giving us Jesus, and we pray all this in his precious name. Amen. Since I accepted and received this beautiful message, I could see and I have seen the Word of God coming to an effect, and the truth of the Holy Scriptures, what is written, is fulfilling word by word, that the last events are closing down on us. With a clear view, when we read Matthew chapter 24 of the last events, seeing clearly by the word of Christ, the word of Christ are full, fulfilling to every letter, and there is no need to analyze every word and study deeply, that we are living in the time of the four angels that are holding, that they are in charge and holding the four corners of this world. And if they let go their hands, the final destructions will commence and the last plagues will start falling on this earth. Paul said, perilous time, dangerous events will arise in the Church of God. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul warned every one of us of the great apostasy that was already in his time. From verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might believe, that they might be saved, verse 11, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Like I was thinking, I don't want to put any thoughts in your mind, and I said to myself, did God really send strong delusion on these people that reject the truth and believe a lie? Or we bring these things on ourselves? Well, God's plan for the human race and Adam and Eve was to live righteous. That was the plan. To live a righteous life without sin. But they manipulated the word of God through the serpent. And manipulate means shrewdly use artful ways, cunningly to deceive, as the serpent did with Adam and Eve. Eve She heard what she wanted to hear, to become like God. She was warned against this evil foe, death. And to ignore him, but she ignored the counsel of the angels and of God. And her mind became so clouded, and in her delusion, she believed the lie. And she pronounced her own destruction as soon as the day you eat from the forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. Also, Israel, before entering the land of milk and honey, they had to pronounce blessings and curses upon themselves. So it was up to them to follow their freedom or to follow their destruction and their delusion. We can't be presumptuous in the word of God. And presumptuous is tending to presume and assume, take it for granted to be true, to be this way, while it's not. It is only the way a person thinks, his theory. We have to be careful how we deal with the word of God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. We do change, but not God. God is the beginning and the end and the Alpha and the Omega. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, "Behold, former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Also, we can speculate in the word of God and try to use our own theories of supposing or to guess as a guesswork, which put the wrong thoughts in someone else's mind that they become confused. We can't do that. We can't speculate. The plans of God are laid before us, especially the plan of salvation that was made before the world was made, before man was created, in case man fall into sin. It is a unique plan, the only plan of its kind. It had to be a plan of the Godhead, for the Son of God to act on our behalf, to do the work for our redemption. It couldn't be done by any human, because man was not worthy to save himself. Not even the angels could not have a part of it. It was a plan of God, of the Godhead, for the Son of God to give his life to save the human race from the utter destruction. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, "Who verily, absolutely, extremely true," it is complete, "who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in this last time for you." So the word "foreordained" in strong concordance is that God has foreseen. He knows beforehand the start, the beginning, and the end. We look briefly now at the longest prophecy in the history of man, which God has predicted, and it has been proven because it came to pass, confirming 100% without any doubt that it's not that is not so. There is no doubt that this prophecy being confirmed or any speculation, but in such details of such event that happened in a period of time that man could ever do that except God himself that knows the beginning and the end. Just briefly, in 457 BC, King Artaxerxes issued a decree and commanded that to rebuild and to restore Jerusalem from its ruin. That was the starting point, and also the scripture give us the day and the year. And you can read this. You can read this information in the book of Ezra. And also read the book of Daniel. How God gave Daniel the vision and explanation on what Daniel had saw in the vision. And this book, the book of Daniel, actually we should read the book of Daniel and Revelation, because those two books, they are for the end of time. And I read the books of Daniel for a long time, actually 3 years. And also my wife used to make a comment, why are you reading this book every day? I said, till it gets here. And that's what it should be. That's where our books, like the scriptures and all, should be stored in the mind, ready to be used when we need them. So, as I said, in 457 BC, King Artaxerxes issued a decree and gave the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem and its ruin. Then certain events happened to meet the history to verify of what had been predicted by God. God gave the knowledge and the understanding of the vision that in 2,300 days the sanctuary will be cleansed. Daniel 8:14. I mean, I'm just touching just a little tiny bit what this prophecy is, the longest prophecy of 2,300 days, which is in Bible terms, the day is for a year. And you can read this in Ezekiel chapter 4 verse 6 and Numbers 14 verse 34. So this is the longest prophecy that it ended in 1844 when there was that bitterness in the belly that Jesus having come. That's what they were preaching, especially Miller, that Jesus is coming in that time, but it wasn't the time for Jesus to come. He just moved in the holy place, and that was the end of the 2,300 days, the longest prophecy in the Bible. In Amos chapter 3 verse 7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And also in Matthew 24 verse 25, Jesus said to his disciples, I have told you beforehand, before it happened. So that was 2,000 years ago. And we are in it today. So God laid before us the history of this world and also the history of the church through his writing and also the writing in the spirit of prophecy to be guided more clearly, to be alarmed, and to put the whole armor of God that we may be able to wrestle in the evil days and having done all to stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against high against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can you understand this verse? That we wrestle not with Satan himself, but with the people, with the comrades of Satan that he put on in this world, in high places. Satan used men to accomplish, and that was Philippians 6, verses 12 and 13. So Satan used men to accomplish his plans to destroy the souls, my soul, your soul, and my soul. With so-called intelligent people through their delusion. Because to listen to Satan, you have to be in delusion. So who mainly Satan use to destroy souls? He used princes, as the scriptures say, in high places, with principalities, Philippians 6:12, with authority, the chiefs, persons that can pass rules, such rules, laws, that gives orders in any ranks, magistrates, people with power in government, and also in any denominations, in any churches. Satan used that. Many times, men tried to destroy God's plans, but he never succeeded, and will never succeed. God's written word always become triumphant, and we know that. It seems that it's going to fall, as the church sometimes seems that it's going to fall, but as we know, at the end, will be triumphant. At the moment is militant, but at the end it will be triumphant. In Isaiah 55 verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. And also, as we know, some try to destroy the Holy Scriptures by burning them. But the Holy Scriptures are fireproof. They can't be touched with fire. It's God's Word. They can't be destroyed. They try many times, as we know. And we hear the word of God to be destroyed, but they never succeeded. Men try to use his own power and try to accomplish his plan by twisting and bending and squeezing and use the scissors here and there to make their opinion fit with the word of God, to make it look good and be persuasive, to convince and to gain their support to succeed in their plans of what they are trying to establish. Jesus in Matthew 7 verse 15 alarmed us with the words, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are angry wolves, ready to snatch you and to tear you apart. So Jesus warned us. But are there such deceivers to think, and such wolves to do things underhanded to deceive souls? Of course there is. They are ready to tear you apart through the instigator, through the command of Satan. In Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And also in verse 6, I believe, do not add to his words, lest he, God, will reprove you and you be found a liar. So the word of God finds us liars if we don't do it and accomplish it. The word of God himself. And how we can add to the word of God that are not written in the in his word, the Holy Scriptures? By doing the wrong things. Be too liberal. Be too liberal or too slack. Meaning, is it okay to go to the supermarket and buy just a tiny small object on the Sabbath day? Does God care? Does it matter for God? Does he mind to do that? Brothers and sisters, God does mind, and the law of God will prove us liars if we do that. There is enough verses in the Holy Scriptures, in his word, to prove this point, that Friday evening, the whole day Sabbath till evening, is the worship day of the Lord, as he commanded. So God does mind if we step out and do such things in his worship day. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left, this is the way, and follow it. We have to be honest with ourselves. That's number one. As God is honest with us. And the Holy Scripture speaks about honesty. And I got a couple of verses here. Romans 8, verse 21. Provided for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So honesty is a virtue. And also Acts 6, verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. So whatever we need to understand in the Holy Scriptures according to the Church of God, it's there. Just flip the pages and you find them there. As he said, Paul said to his brethren, look ye among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business, the business of the church, the business of God, the word of God. So honesty comes from our heart. And that's how God knows us, because he can read our hearts. Honesty follows by good reports, with wisdom, and to be righteous in our ways. To be honest is to be trusted in our actions and our communications, in our support for one another, in our dealing with one another, in our dealing with God in his church. Because God depends on us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, the words of Jesus are, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the devil one. So Jesus warned us too, that our answers, yes, yes, and no, no. But if it's more than this, it's from the devil. We have to be honest with our spouses, our wives, our husbands. I am not saying for another thing, but not on this point, but in our daily lives, how to treat one another as Christians, to be honest in our tithes and offering. Remember, God only expects little portion from what He given us. So honesty carries with it the good attributes. But dishonest is on the contrary, on the other side of honesty, and carry with it some awful words. A dishonest person is not trusted, create contention, try to mislead others with his words. Self-important, have no honor, no respect, try to look bright in the eyes of men, but not in the eyes of God. The Word of God illustrates and gave us some views how righteous men became dishonest with themselves and after became dishonest with God. That led them to heartbreaks, pain, hardship, ruins, evil planning, that some lost the connection with God completely. We got the story of David, how, when he became dishonest with himself, fell into sin, and one thing led to another, he became adulterer, a liar, a murderer, and all the evil planning that he did in the sight of God. That his dishonesty cost him a lot of pain during his lifetime. Also, we have the wisest man that ever lived, ever existed, Solomon. That his wisdom didn't stop him to be dishonest with himself. And with his dishonesty, he dishonored God among all the nations, and even his evil practice carried on for so many long years in the nation of Israel. Also, we have Saul, another example, the first king of Israel. When Israel rejected God to rule over them, they approached Samuel and said, "Make us a king, appoint us a king to judge us like all the nations." And Samuel anointed Saul as God, as a king, as God has commanded him. And Saul was dishonest in the ways of God. He abused his leadership, and how he ended his life with a tragic end. After the battle with the Philistines, the battle became so intense against Saul. He was badly wounded by the archers. And not to fall in the hands of the Philistine, he took a sword and fell on it. He killed himself that way. And he died. And others examples, such examples that written in the Word of God. So, do you think that these written stories are just written stories, just to be in the Bible? No. But why they are written for? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them for as examples, that they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the age have come. For this means that what happened to them, and they are written in the Bible, they are written also for this time of age, for us. There is no doubt about it, because the scriptures, the word of God, say so. So all these things happen and are written for our example, not to practice the wrong that were the wrong that others did, they others done. And they are written for this time of age, for this present time, for you and me to walk straight in the pathways of God and not sway in any direction. In Paul's letters to churches, those things were written not only for that time, but for our time. From letter 332, 1907, Paul was not an unlearned man, but the preaching of Christ was a new gospel for him. That is the answer what he said this morning, John. And it was a new gospel for him, of what he was engaged with, hunting Christians and put them in jail even unto death. But the way to Damascus, a remarkable change of conversion took place. From that time of his conversion, God gave Paul a special work in Christianity. His instruction in his letters to the churches of his days is instructions for the church of God to the end of time. So that is letter 332, 1907. Also from manuscript 1905, Paul did not come to the churches as a well-spoken man, or had scientific, or he was scientific philosophers. But in simplicity, he proclaimed the things that had been revealed to him. He was able to speak with power and authority, for he received frequently instruction from God in vision. So every letter that Paul wrote to the churches, God has listed them with the rest of the human, with the rest of the Holy Scriptures as inspired words by the Holy Spirit. And I take it for granted, and no one can change my mind, that God is not a God that uses trickery or do things underhanded with some methods in his words that are arranged in such a manner to deceive us. God is not like that at all. If there is some passages in the scriptures that are hard to understand, it's for our benefit to search the scriptures that we can understand them. That God can open a vast understanding for us. In Isaiah 28 verse 10, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And that we can come to a conclusion by the grace of the Holy Spirit and understand that God, what God is trying to teach us. and he can lead us to all understanding. If we know everything in the scriptures, that means we reach the point that there is no need to read the scriptures anymore. But it's not like that at all. God reveals to us new things that are between the lines and explain that if we read the scriptures. God give us true understanding in his holy word. In John chapter 5 verse 39 and 40, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testifies of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Willing to come to me is an invitation to know me. By searching the scriptures is to discover the hidden words that are written in the scriptures to be uncovered by us when we read the scriptures. In Psalms 19 verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, his written words converting the soul, covering the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So let us accept the Holy Scriptures as God gave it to us, and not to make our own choices what is applicable or not to suit ourselves in our lifestyle. To follow Christ, there would be some sacrifices to be made in our lives. And the things that they are stumbling block for us to be removed from our ways and ask God what he wants from us. Jesus is not going to cheat us and deceive us, but he wants us to prepare to live with him in the kingdom of heaven. And I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. "In the meantime, when there were gathering together large number of multitude of people, insomuch..." Everyone is ready there? Yes? "Insomuch..." Pardon? Oh, Luke 12, sorry. Luke 12, 1 to 3. Chapter Luke 12, 1 to 3. "In the meantime, where there were gathered together large number multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon other, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which is heard, which have spoken in the ears, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetop." The word hypocrisy is to pretend falsely to possess virtues, pretending to be admired as righteous. That is hypocrisy. So Jesus warned his disciples and also us that there is such people with false appearance lives a double life. But there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid and shall not be known. And sometimes, and in times, we see that man try to cover up for his wrong. It will be revealed one way or another, be uncovered, or the deceit that men have planned, which are not according to the light of the Holy Scriptures, because they are joined, connected with darkness, with the devil. Because the devil is darkness, and whatever he does, he do it in darkness. The word that are spoken in the ears, in the closets, means the word that we speak behind doors that we do not want anyone to hear, because they are not coming from God, but the devil. Will be, and this will be proclaimed from the housetops to the public for God to reveal them. Sometimes in our lives we do things unwisely, and sometimes we like to push through our own opinions, but we do not realize and consider the damage, the hurt of the souls of God that we put them through. God never let these things to pass by, but it will comes up in the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, perilous time that we're going through in our lives. We have to pray without ceasing. What Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Test all things, hold fast what is good, keep away from every form of evil. Rejoice always in everything. Give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. That you see us as your soldiers, and with the banner of your name, we march on. We thank you that you give us all the encouragement that we need in your church, and nothing will touch us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we believe in you, and the words that I've written in the Holy Scriptures that came to pass and is coming to pass. So we thank you. Bless us now. Also bless those ones that they have to travel, and that they get to their destination safely. Until we meet again, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us, and thank you for giving us Jesus, and we pray all this in his precious name. Amen.